The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it is officially football season, y'all. NFL training camps have all kicked off this week, so it is an exciting time to be a sports fan. But before we get into all the sports talk, I did just want to let everybody know I am going on vacation, a long vacation too. Next week, I'm headed to Europe. I'm going to be headed to Amsterdam, Zermatt, Switzerland, Rome, Italy, and Santorini, Greece, and it's going to be a couple weeks, so there will not be any shows from me for 3 whole weeks. I will be back on August 21st, Monday, August 21st, so it's actually probably a perfect time to be taking that long of a break, too, since, you know, there's not a lot going on sports-wise, and the good thing is, once I get back, football season is going to be in full force. We'll already be halfway through preseason games. And so I'll be close, you know, I'll be making all my my predictions on how I believe the season's going to turn out. I'm going to be in Europe for a couple weeks. So there will not be any shows for 3 whole weeks here. So let's get right into what's going on in training camp this week. The New York Giants actually did decide to re-sign running back Saquon Barkley, which I felt like they really needed to do. They aren't going to be successful without him. And so they were able to sign him to a new contract, and he's going to be paid well this season. But speaking of being paid well, Justin Herbert of the San Diego Chargers is now officially the highest paid player in the league. He just signed a 5-year, $262 million extension, and it's probably not going to last long, him being the highest paid player in the league. We all know. Once the next quarterback comes up for his contract, it always happens that they are the highest paid quarterback in the league. And Joe Burrow is basically the next guy in line. So Justin Herbert gets to have the title for a little bit of the time being now. But good for him. He's going to be getting paid. So now that he's getting paid, why don't you go and win some playoff games in Los Angeles there? But he is definitely getting paid. And then speaking of getting paid, Trayvon Diggs of the Dallas Cowboys, he also signed a new extension. He signed a 5-year, $97 million extension with the Cowboys, which I am very excited to hear about just because, you know, him and Micah Parsons, they are the lockdown dudes on defense, and they're young too, so I'm happy we got our young guys locked in. But unfortunately, right now, Zach Martin, our offensive lineman, our standout offensive lineman, is holding out right now. Who knows how long the holdout's going to go. Definitely right now it's going through training camp, but he's looking for a better contract right now. And that is a big blow to the Cowboys offense because we all know Dak Prescott is a very ineffective quarterback if he doesn't have at least a decent offensive line. And we all know Zach Martin is the anchor of that offensive line. So hopefully this holdout doesn't last too long, but we'll see what happens there. And then in some bad news, which it always happens, every training camp, somebody gets taken out. And right now, Miami Dolphins cornerback, they just signed Jalen Ramsey traded for Jalen Ramsey in the offseason. And unfortunately, he injured his knee this week in training camp, and he's going to be out probably till at least December is what they're saying. He's not out the whole entire season, but he's definitely going to be out for a few months. So that's a huge blow to them because we all know that that was their big pickup in the offseason. That was where they really needed some help was at the cornerback position on defense. And now Jalen Ramsey is out. And then actually in a bit of good news, if you'll remember, DeMar Hamlin, he had a heart attack last year during a game. And 7 months ago on a Monday Night Football game, He actually, 7 months later, is a full go. So he's able to participate in training camp. He's able to participate in games this season. So who would have thought he goes into cardiac arrest during a game? And who knew if his career was ever going to go on? And turns out it is. And 7 months later, he's going to be able to begin the regular season. And we'll see what happens with him. You know, he wasn't really that great of a player. So we're probably going to hear about him the first like week or two of the season. And then he'll probably fade off into existence, as he should. All right. And then so since we are talking football, I decided this week's football topic is going to be MVP candidates, guys, I believe, who are – I picked five guys who I think are going to be solid MVP candidates throughout the season. There is no specific order, but I just feel like not only are they going to be an MVP candidate, but if their team is successful, it's definitely going to be on their shoulders. So beginning with one of my top MVP candidates for the season, I believe, is going to be Aaron Rodgers. You know, he just got traded to the New York Jets. This is a team that hasn't had any success since Super Bowl III. It was literally the last time they won a Super Bowl. It was in Super Bowl III when Joe Namath was their quarterback. And they just have pretty much been a laughing stock for many years. So Aaron Rodgers definitely gives them that legitimacy. Now, I look at them and they're going to have to prove something to me before I'm really going to make them a legitimate Super Bowl candidate. But they're definitely, they should be a good team this year. They should be a competitive team this year. Hell, they should make the playoffs this year, because Aaron Rodgers is just that good of a quarterback where he really is going to legitimately change or turn around this team for the better. And so I feel like if the Jets are a successful team this season, it's going to be because of Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to be an MVP candidate. Then my second player that I've got for my top MVP candidates for the season is Micah Parsons, the defensive end / linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, these last couple of years, he's been that dude, and he's been a difference maker. And you can see it. You could just see the stark difference when he's on the sideline and when he's on the field. Even if he has nothing to do with the play, he makes an effect on each and every play. And he's been that guy these last couple of seasons where you look at him and he's even been discussed as an MVP candidate. And I just kind of feel like, of course, the Cowboys are definitely going to have to be competitive on the offensive side of things with Dak and CD Lamb. But definitely Micah Parsons, I kind of feel like, is the difference maker on the defensive side of the ball. And I feel like if the Cowboys are going to be successful this year, it's going to be because of him. And I feel like he's got a good shot at being an MVP candidate this year. Then my third MVP candidate for the season I have is Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. I just kind of feel like with him, it's a duh. Him and the Chiefs, you look at them and they're going to be contenders every single year, unless they prove otherwise. But it's kind of, at this point, they're just a team where you expect them to be good. And if they're going to be good, it's going to be because of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that was obvious and evident last year, just with the way he played. He is the defending MVP. He won it last year. So I just kind of feel like he's always going to be a guy you put in the MVP candidacy no matter what. And if the Chiefs are playing well, why are they playing well? Well, it's because Patrick Mahomes is doing Patrick Mahomes things. Then my fourth MVP candidate for the season, I believe, is going to be Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback. Unfortunately, he suffered a non-contact injury yesterday in training camp. Looks like it's not going to be anything serious. It is a calf injury. No telling how long it's going to keep him out of practice, but you never want to start the season off injured. And when you're a quarterback, your calves are extremely important because if you don't know, a lot of your throwing comes from your lower half. And so your calves are a big deal when you're a quarterback. But like I said, it shouldn't be a big deal. But I definitely feel like if the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be successful, it's going to be because of Joe Burrow. The guy has been money since he stepped into the league, since he's taken over the starting position as the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback. He's already been to the Super Bowl. Yes, they lost the Super Bowl, but he's been to the Super Bowl. They've made playoff runs. They've had playoff wins. They've had big comebacks. They've been a legit team since the day they drafted Joe Burrow. And I just feel like if this team ends up being as good as I believe they should be this year, the main reason why is going to be because of Joe Burrow. And then the last MVP candidate I have for this season is Jalen Hurts. You know, he was an MVP candidate last year. I don't really expect the Eagles to lose a step this year. I wouldn't be shocked if they did, just because, yes, they did lose the Super Bowl last year, and lots of times you do suffer a Super Bowl hangover, but they didn't really lose a step. As a matter of fact, they got better, and so I feel like if they're a good team and they remain a good team, it's going to be on the back of Jalen Hurts, and I feel like he, you know, with the NFC, losing Aaron Rodgers at quarterback as the Green Bay Packers quarterback, the NFC is so wide open this year. And so you look at it and you look at the rosters, the teams that should dominate. You know, the Cowboys should be good. The Eagles should be good. The 49ers should be good. Those are like the top teams that I look at that just should automatically be good. And so since I feel that way, that the Eagles should be good. And with what Jalen Hurts did last year, I only expect him to improve upon what he did last year and get better this year. And so I would not be shocked if this guy is an MVP candidate for this year. All right, so let's move on to baseball. And the Los Angeles Angels have announced that they have taken Shohei Ohtani off of the trading block, which I think is a good move. You know, they're on the precipice of potentially making the playoffs this year. And when you're doing that, you can't hate on a team who's going to take the risk. And hey, you never know. If they make a good playoff run, they got the potential of keeping Ohtani and signing him in the offseason. So they decided to keep him, and he decided to pay them back. And yesterday, he had a hell of a day. So the Angels ended up having to play a doubleheader yesterday against the Detroit Tigers. And so in game one, he was the starting pitcher. And he pitched his first ever complete game shutout. Only one hit was allowed in a 6-0 win over the Detroit Tigers. And then he comes back in game two. When he's not pitching, he's hitting. And all he does in that game is he hits two home runs in that game, in game two, in an 11-4 win over the Detroit Tigers. So Shohei Ohtani is just continuing to do things we have never seen in this league. And he's just getting better, and good for the Angels for keeping him. And we'll see if they're able to make the playoff run. But they are right there. But they are in a difficult division. They're in a difficult league. The American League is just really difficult to really start to shine in, because a lot of teams are playing really well. And so the Angels got an outside shot at making the playoffs, but you can't blame them for putting it all in on Ohtani. And so it's looking like he's not going to be traded, and he just continues to do crazy things in this league. And so since I'm going to be taking 3 weeks off, let's just go ahead, when we're talking baseball right now, I'm just going to go ahead and talk about the division leaders and the wild card leaders, and just see where we're at the midway point in the season. And right now at the American League East, the Baltimore Orioles, they have overtaken the lead in the American League East, because Tampa Bay is just starting to fall apart. I just feel like the Shane McClanahan injury has really affected them greatly. They are only a game and a half back, so it's not like they've really lost their grip. But the Orioles, they have not lost a step, whereas the Tampa Bay Rays have. Not saying they can't get it back, but they are in a difficult division. You know, right now, the Red Sox are starting to get hot. The Blue Jays are starting to get hot. And the New York Yankees are getting Aaron Judge back here any day. So this American League East is about to heat up. And the Tampa Bay Rays are just falling further and further back. And the Baltimore Orioles now have the grip right now on the AL East. But I think it's going to be a battle for the AL East, probably to the last game of the season. Then moving to the AL Central, this has been a battle all year as well between the Minnesota Twins and the Cleveland Guardians. Right now, the Twins have the lead. They have a game and a half lead over the Cleveland Guardians right now. If I'm a betting man on this one, I'm always taking Cleveland. I just feel like they've always been a really good second half team. And while they do have the unfortunate news of Shane Bieber, he's going to be out probably till September-ish at this point. And then they lost Tristan McKenzie again. So their starting pitching has really started to take a hit. Offensively, they're still playing really well. Defensively, not too bad. But the Twins haven't really been that consistent either. So I my money would be on the Guardians, even though the AL Central is also up for grabs and it's probably going to come down to the final week of the season. And then in the American League West, this is also a battle between the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros. Right now, the Rangers have the lead on the Astros, a two-game lead, but the Astros are really starting to put it together. And they got Yordan back this week. They got Altuve back this week. There's talk that they may even trade again for Justin Verlander. And so if they get him back and they got all these guys back from injury, you look at the Astros, and I wouldn't be shocked if they're able to overtake this lead and take the West. But so far, the Rangers, even though they've had their lulls through the season, they've been one of the most consistent teams. They've been one of the best teams. So this West, the American League West, is probably going to come down to the final week as well. So these division battles are getting tight. And so with the 3 weeks that I'm off, it's going to be very interesting to see where we are at when I get back. And then right now, holding down the three wild card positions would be the Tampa Bay Rays, the Houston Astros, and the Toronto Blue Jays, who are also surging as well. But, you know, they haven't been very consistent at all. And then turning to the National League, looking at the NL East, the Atlanta Braves are just head and shoulders above everybody. It's going to take a huge collapse for them to lose their 10-game lead right now on the Philadelphia Phillies. So even though the Braves are in a down point in their season right now, they seem to be that team where they started off the beginning of the season kind of slow and then really got it going. Now they've started off at the All-Star break kind of slow. I expect them to get it going. Hell, even Spencer Strider got blown up the other day in a game. So they are in a lull, but they have such a huge lead and they're such a good team. I really doubt they're going to lose their grip on the National League East at any point in the season. The National League Central, though, is up for grabs with any of the five teams in this division. Right now, Milwaukee has a game and a half lead over the Cincinnati Reds. Milwaukee's the hot team right now in this division. The Cubs are a hot team right now in this division. The Reds are starting to lose their grip. But, I mean, that's how the NL Central has been from the jump. Every team basically has had, like, a nice, solid winning streak. The Cardinals are starting to get it going right now. And so like I've continued to say, I would not be shocked if the National League Central goes to the St. Louis Cardinals, even though they've been one of the worst teams this season. But they've been pretty hot since the All-Star break. But that's the way the National League Central teams have gone. Hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. So this one's probably going to come down to the final week of the season. And then the National League West. What a fucking mess this division has turned into. Right now, the Dodgers, they've got the lead right now, a three-game lead over my San Francisco Giants. And the Arizona Diamondbacks have really started to take a nosedive. You know, they were one of the best teams to start the season off, but Zach Gallen's last three starts have been awful. And they've just been a bad team, whereas the Dodgers, they're doing what the Dodgers do, and they've got right back to their winning ways. And the Giants, I just don't believe in them right now. I don't think they are a deep enough team to really make a legitimate run. They might be a wild card team, but even so, I don't think they're a legitimate playoff team where they're going to shake any ground unless they make some type of trade. But who knows if they're going to do that. The Dodgers always make some type of trade, and who knows, it could be some big fucking earth-shattering trade, and they just run away with the West. But the Diamondbacks have really started to fall off. And looking at the wild card teams right now in the National League, the top wild card teams would be the San Francisco Giants, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Cincinnati Reds. So that's how we're looking right now, July 28th of the baseball season. So we'll see where we're at when I get back from Europe how everybody's looking, because 3 weeks is a long time in baseball, in baseball season, and so it's going to be very interesting to see where we're at when I recap baseball. And we do have a big fight weekend this weekend, both in UFC and boxing. So let's start off with UFC 291. We've got us a lightweight matchup between Dustin Poirier with a 29-7 record and one no contest, and versus Justin Gaethje. He's got a 24-4 record. Right now, Poirier is the favorite. They're both very, very similar fighters. They have a similar style of fight. I do feel like this one is going to go the distance. And I actually think I'm going to go with Gaethje for the upset. I don't know why. Both fighters, I don't really care much for either one of them. They don't really do it for me. They are the number 2 and 3 ranked guys right now in the lightweight division. So whoever wins is obviously looking for a shot at the title. And both guys deserve it for sure. I mean, like I said, they're both very similar fighters, and it should be a good fight that goes the distance. But I'm just going to go with Gaethje for the upset. I just kind of feel like it's that's kind of how I see the fight going. I feel like if it's a fight that ends up going the distance, it favors Gaethje. And so I'm going to go with Gaethje in this one, even though Poirier is favored. And then in boxing, it is a hell of a matchup. It is Errol Spence Jr. with his 28-0 record, 22 of those by knockout, versus Terrence Crawford in his 39-0 record and his 30 knockouts on his record. This is for the welterweight unification. This is only the 13th time this has ever happened in the welterweight division where we've had a unification match. And it's a good one. I mean, both guys are undefeated. Both guys, you know, like I just said with Gaethje and Poirier, they're very similar. Well, so are these guys. They got combinations like no other with their fists. The only difference is one of them is great with the right, and the other one is great with the left. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they counterattack each other. But I feel like this is going to be an excellent fight between two really good fighters. And Terrence Crawford is favored in this one, and I'm leaning towards Crawford in this one. I just feel like Crawford's the better boxer. Crawford's the more advanced boxer. Crawford's just, and that's no shot at Spence, because Spence is a great boxer as well. But I just kind of feel like Crawford is, I feel like he's just more ready for this. And you know, 39-0, that ain't nothing to discredit. And I mean, 28-0, that's nothing, that's not bad either, but, 39-0, that's a big number there. And, I just think Terrence Crawford, he seems to get better with each and every fight. He hasn't really lost a step at all. And, he's a knockout king. So I actually do think this one's going to go by way of knockout, with Terrence Crawford knocking out Errol Spence Jr. in this one. All right. Moving on to the, top 5 list this week. Since we are approaching the Major League Baseball trade deadline on August 1st, I decided to do the top 5 trade deadline deals, because we have had some big blockbuster trades. So each of these trades are they were either really shocking trades we didn't expect to happen, or they were trades, every one of them, they were difference makers for damn sure. So They were traded to the team and made an immediate impact, and then some of them even made like career-long impacts on the team that they got traded to. So these are not only impactful players, they were good trades, at least for one team, because usually on the opposite end, it was just they were getting crap for crap. But they were just shocking trades where you're like, holy shit, because you know, if Shohei Ohtani got traded, which he's not expected to, that's a big deal, because he's probably the best baseball player in the league right now, and he's a huge draw, and everybody wants that dude on their team. So if he were to get traded, that would be jaw-dropping. And so a couple of these, they are jaw-dropping. So let's start off with number 5 on my top 5 trade deadline deals. Fred McGriff, in 1993, first baseman, got traded from the San Diego Padres to the Atlanta Braves. This was a shocking trade, just because he was one of the best hitters Not only at the time, but especially for this Padres team. But the Padres do what the Padres do, and that is they suck. And since they were so terrible, they decided to get rid of all of their big-name players at the trade deadline. It was just one of those, we're selling everything. And so Fred McGriff was one of the big dudes at that time, and the Atlanta Braves ended up getting him. And it was shocking because the Atlanta Braves basically, you know, added in yet another piece to what was already a really stacked good team. And this was actually, you know, the early 90s Atlanta Braves. You know, they were always in contention every year. And so to get even better with Fred McGriff is what they did. And not only did they get better, but he ended up having a stellar career with them. I believe he played 5 years with the Braves. And for all 5 years, they were successful. He was successful in his career numbers with the Atlanta Braves. Was he batted a .293 with 130 home runs. The guy was a home run killer. So that was a big trade for the Atlanta Braves back in 1993. Then at number four on my top five MLB trade deadline deals, Curt Schilling, back in 2000, starting pitcher, was with the Philadelphia Phillies at the time and got traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks. It was a blockbuster trade because Curt Schilling was one of the best pitchers at that time. As a matter of fact, to me, the dude is a Hall of Fame pitcher. I was never a Curt Schilling fan, by the way. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, and I also like the New York Yankees. So this dude played for the Diamondbacks, who I fucking hate, and they won a World Series and beat the Yankees. And then he went to the Red Sox. So it's like, I've never particularly rooted for Curt Schilling. He's a dude I respect because I do think he had a hell of a career, was a hell of a pitcher and a winner as well. Dude belongs in the Hall of Fame and is not in the Hall of Fame, and it just is fucking ridiculous, but I digress. Anyways, he did get traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks. It was a jaw-dropping trade at the time, and it would actually be one of the best moves for the Arizona Diamondbacks in their entire franchise history, because the next year in 2001 is when they would go on to beat the Yankees in the World Series. And at the helm was him and Randy Johnson. Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson were a two-headed monster for the Arizona Diamondbacks back in 2000, 2001, 2002, in that era. And when Curt Schilling got traded to the Diamondbacks, he finished second in Cy Young in 2000. And his career numbers with the Diamondbacks ended up being, he pitched for 258 innings with 45 wins, so the guy, and a World Series win. And so the guy had just a hell of a career, and it was one of the most jaw-dropping trades at the time, but also one of the greatest franchise moves for the Arizona Diamondbacks in their entire history, which says a lot. Then at number three on my top five trade deadline deals, Mark McGwire. In 1997, first baseman was traded from the Oakland A's to the St. Louis Cardinals. This was a big deal because Mark McGwire, yes, I know, the whole steroid shit, blah, 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 don't care. He was the dude when he was with the A's, and it was a shocker that they even decided to trade him because he was the dude. And then when he went to the Cardinals, they were not doing well. They needed somebody like McGwire to put some asses in seats, and that's exactly what he did. Like I said, he got traded in 97, and 98 was the year he and Sammy Sosa had their home run chase, which really just was an epic year for Major League Baseball in and of itself. So this was not only a jaw-dropping move just trade-wise, because, oh my God, you're trading away Mark McGwire, but also this was a big move for the organization of the St. Louis Cardinals, because the following year it would be, like I said, the home run chase. And Mark McGwire actually did have a very successful career with the St. Louis Cardinals. He would end up hitting 58 home runs in that season he was traded. And he just was a home run hitter. That's what he did. And so it just was a very shocking trade, but it was a great trade for the St. Louis Cardinals at the time. Then at number two on my top five trade deadline deals, Manny Ramirez. Back in 2008, outfielder was traded from the Boston Red Sox to the Los Angeles Dodgers. If you'll remember, this was not a good end between Manny Ramirez and the Boston Red Sox. It was, I mean, the like two seasons before Manny Ramirez got traded, it was like every single offseason, all the way up to the offseason to the trade deadline, it would be like Manny Ramirez is getting traded here. Manny Ramirez is getting traded here. And he'd be demanding trades and demanding trades. And he'd be talking shit about the club right to the media. So it was a very contentious back and forth between the two, between the Red Sox and Manny Ramirez for like three freaking years. And then finally they decided to trade him to the Dodgers of all teams. I mean, before he was traded to the Dodgers, he actually was not playing the way we expected Manny Ramirez to play. But then once he got traded, the dude went off. He did only end up playing the second half of that season with the Dodgers. He did not re-sign with the Dodgers after that, but he played 53 games with the Dodgers, and his slash line ended up being a 396, 489, and 743. So the guy, he went off, and he would end up with 17 home runs on the season, and they actually would end up going to the NLCS, and he would be a big reason why they'd make this big second half push. And he also just had a great playoff run. He isn't the reason why they didn't win the World Series that year. It's actually the exact opposite. He's the reason why they even made it to the NLCS. So not only was it a jaw-dropping trade with a big name player, but he made a huge impact immediately the second he was traded. And then number one on my top five trade deadline deals, Mark Teixeira back in 2008. He's been traded a couple of times, first baseman, but this time was when he was traded from the Atlanta Braves to the Anaheim Angels. And the reason why this is number one is because it was a jaw-dropping trade, because Mark Teixeira was a bad motherfucker when he was in the league. I mean, he was one of the best of his era, and he played for so many teams. It was crazy, but he just was so that good. But once he went to the Angels, and he was also a guy who only played the second half with the Angels. He would go on to sign with the Yankees in the offseason. But he played 54 games with the Angels, and his slash line would be a 358, 449, 632 with 13 home runs. And the Angels would go to the ALDS that year as well. Also, one of the reasons why this was such a big trade is because even though Mark Teixeira did not remain an Angel, this would have the biggest effect on this franchise up until Shohei Ohtani. And that is, they were able to eventually get the draft pick to pick the one and only Mike Trout with their draft pick. So I can't remember exactly how the trade worked out, but basically one of the players that they traded away, they were able to, and then, you know, with Teixeira signing with the Yankees, they were able to get a certain draft pick, and that's what they ended up picking Mike Trout with. So not only did they get a great player in Mark Teixeira, they didn't have to give up a lot to get Teixeira. And, he was able to help them make a nice postseason run. They would alter the future of this team completely and draft Mike Trout, one of the greatest baseball players of this era. So that is the top five this week, the top five trade deadline deals. So like I said, I'm going to be gone for the next 3 weeks, gallivanting around Europe. Like I said, headed to Amsterdam. So you know what I'm going to be doing there, smoking up a lot of weed. Also doing a lot of other things. I've been to Amsterdam before, and they do have great food. So I'll be enjoying that. Headed to Zermatt, Switzerland. Never been there before. I'm a huge watch fan, so I wouldn't be shocked if I come back with a brand new watch from Switzerland, since that is the watch capital of the world, is Switzerland. Then headed to Rome, Italy. Never been there before, so I'm really looking forward to the beauty of Italy. And then to Santorini, Greece, another place I have never been before, but I'm looking forward to all four stops. And so I won't be paying a lot of attention to sports, because I won't be in the same time zone, and I'll be gallivanting around doing other things. When I go on vacation, I barely check social media. I don't really check my email. I don't really pay attention to life. So it's going to be interesting to see me taking like 3 weeks off of sports. So while I'm gone, I hope you all enjoy the rest of your summer. I hope you enjoy all of the baseball we have. I hope you enjoy training camp. And I will talk to you fools when I get back on August 21st.